Welcome to Wake Up Podcast with Viv Trader. Viv is a curious person with the desire to embrace different opinions and expertise. Her focus is health, well-being, environmental, and political. She holds a non-judgmental approach and she is objective. Her approach is that in order for us to create change and push boundaries, we need to consider all possible angles. A wider range of influences and opinions are needed. She thinks this is especially true for tasks which involve creative problem solving, innovation, and collaboration. Viv's ambition is to raise your awareness and contribute to a better world. She is also the founder of Vivalicious Food, which produces an innovative vegan baby food with added omega-3 from an algae oil. www.vivaliciousfood.com.
So today I have the real pleasure and honor of having Shelly Rahim here today. Thank you so much, Shelly, for coming all the way from San Diego.
Oh, yes. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. Now, Shelly, can you please tell me, who are you?
Oh, thank you for asking. That's a big question. Well, actually, I gave birth to my kids really young. So I became a mom at age 19. And I'm 51 now. So I have a 31-year-old, a 28-year-old, and a 17-year-old. And it wasn't planned that way. Like I didn't, you know, society prescribes us how we should live our life, right? We graduate high school, we go to college, and then we get our house. And then when we're in our 30s, you know, when we're all set with our careers, then we have kids. I kind of did things backward. And I had my kids young. My husband and I were young college students, you know, finishing our degrees, figuring things out while we're raising kids. But it gave me an opportunity to really like open up, like, who am I? I'm a mother now. Like it really informed all of my decisions of who I'm going to be as a career woman, as, you know, when I get my degree, what am I going to study? And so mothering became like the core of who I am. And then I started to follow that calling within me. When I got pregnant at 18, just randomly, I just felt like a goddess. I felt so powerful creating a life inside my body. I just loved being pregnant. And then I gave birth and I loved giving birth. And that was very random. I didn't have a family of midwives there was no influence around me that was pointing me in that direction of a holistic pregnancy and birth. It just kind of came from deep within me. And there was no internet, right? So I wasn't being influenced by anybody. And I stumbled across the book, Spiritual Midwifery by Ina May Gaskin. It was one of the first books on like natural birth. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I felt the call at age 18 to work with mothers I didn't know how. And it wasn't until my kids were older that I started like doing trainings as a birth doula and as a postpartum caregiver and a postpartum chef. And I started, you know, guiding women through prenatal yoga classes and birth trauma. And yeah, so I've been doing this work for about, 17 years, working with mothers in sort of the holistic pregnancy, birth, and postpartum field.
Wow, amazing. And, you know, we were talking about when I also had three kids, and when I gave birth, I was never given the option to have a holistic birth, whereas you were. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I kind of lucked out, to be honest. If you know, like San Francisco, California is really liberal and a lot of the natural movements start from there. Well, I didn't give birth in San Francisco, but I gave birth in Oregon, which is very similar to that kind of vibe. Yeah. And so we had a lot of midwives in this city where I gave birth. And I was seeing an OBGYN, actually. And I started asking my OBGYN during pregnancy these questions. And when I started reading Spiritual Midwifery, I was like, oh my gosh, like, have you heard about squatting to give birth? It sounds amazing. Like, it seems like it makes sense. And she immediately was like, We're not animals. We're not like living in the dark ages where we have to lean over a fence and squat our babies out. And I was like, oh. And then I remember asking her, well, have you heard about women having water birth? I was so naive, right? And she was like, we're not dolphins. And so I just was like, oh my gosh, right? And then at the hospital where I gave birth, she wasn't available, and but there were midwives there. And I had asked my husband, like, we could have a home birth. There's midwives that will do birth at home. That sounds great to me. But he wasn't on board with that, which a lot of, guys aren't. And so we gave birth in the hospital, but there happened to be midwives there. And they were like, yeah, squat, Shelly, this is great. They were like, and they validated these things that I, intuitively felt that that was right. And as a young 19-year-old, it just felt like, wow, these women are, they just really empowered me, and they really saw me, and they believed in my body ability to do it without pain meds, and they supported that, and I had a beautiful birth in the hospital, with my husband and these midwives, and so that's kind of how it started for me.
Wow, that's amazing. So I guess one of the major things are you didn't have any pain relief, right? And you still weren't that much in pain because of your squats and
Yeah, I think that I just, my husband and I took like the Lamaze class back then. That's what they had. And, I really just learned to like to breathe and to move my body. And I also didn't have a lot of fear because there was no internet. I didn't have any friends who had given birth, right? Because I was only 19. All my friends were in school partying. And so I didn't have anybody's fear stories. I was a blank slate. And so I just went in and I had no expectations, right? Like I didn't know what to expect. I just was like so moment to moment. And I remember it was intense. And I remember moments where, it hurt like hell. But I got across those thresholds and I managed to do it. I didn't have anybody telling me, oh, Jelly, you should really get the epidural. These midwives were there, right? And they weren't tempting me or trying to make me feel like, if you offer the epidural, it's implying like, oh, you must need help, like you're not coping very well. I never got offered that, right? So I think it's really pivotal that the people around you, that they also have that confidence in you and also give you that support that you need to kind of cross those really challenging thresholds.
Wow, it's all about mindset, really, isn't it?
A
When it
lot of it
comes to
is.
birth. Yeah, amazing. And you were mentioning as well, you had no fear. Do you think we are being bombarded today in society? So a lot of fear is sort of, it's almost like we're brainwashed with fear before giving birth. Do you think there's a truth to that?
I do. I think there's a lot. There's too much information in general. And I think it's overwhelming for moms expecting and planning to give birth. So there's on one hand, we're conditioned in just the general media. Like if you go watch a movie and there's a birth scene, it's usually like, the woman's like screaming out of control and the doctor swoops in with his scrubs on and he's the hero and saves the day. And that's kind of what we've been conditioned. That's what birth is. It goes kind of gets tucked away in our little subconscious mind. And then there's the other side of things where if you go on Instagram and you'll see all these women giving birth, like as if it's pain-free and as if it feels good. And that there's these images of like, oh, well, birth is just so it's so natural and so easy. And so you kind of have these two opposite ends of the spectrum, where it's like it's a horrific, experience and it's a blissful experience. And it's very confusing because it can be all of that in one, and we don't know what it's going to be for us until we're in it. And so yeah, it's really hard for I think people preparing to give birth to kind of weed out like what is knowledge and what's information that's going to help me and empower me and what is just planting seeds of expectation or false promises that I will then come out feeling, oh man, like I had to get the epidural, so I feel like my body failed. And about all the videos I watched of women doing it, like with joy and painless, I didn't do that. What's wrong with me? So there's a lot there.
And what's your advice? I mean, to all the women out there that have a lot of fear, what would you tell those young mothers or mothers?
Yeah, I think so. I do the work with in my birth classes, we do address fears. And, what we do is I have them make a list of all their fears. Because the worst thing you can do is to kind of like, oh, I'm going to pretend like that's not going to happen to me. That's the first thing, is don't shut them out. Say if you have a fear of cesarean, people will really think, oh, you know what? I'm doing the birth classes. I've got a doula. I'm doing all the things. So I'm not going to read the chapter on cesarean because that's not going to happen to me. And, it's really important to not be like, okay, I'm going to plan for a cesarean. It's probably going to happen. We're not manifesting it. But what we have to do as becoming this like warrior, like the warrior plans for everything, right? So even though we want maybe a natural birth or a holistic experience, we don't know what birth's going to give us. There could be a baby with the arm up here like this, trying to come down, and it's challenging and it's a little more painful than, and you might need some support, right? In ways that you weren't expecting, is what the situation is. So in my birth classes, what we do is, okay, guys, everybody's going to write down a list of fears. And some people's fears are, they have two or three, and some are like really long. And the partners are doing this too. The partners or husbands or whomever, they have their own fears, which are going to be different from the birthing mother's fears. So we write the fears down, and then I say, okay, look at all these fears, and let's circle the one that is like, that's the one I really just don't want to think about. I'm not going to think about that one. Well, we're going to look that tiger in the eye. And so then I have them do some, we kind of do like a meditation and art activity, and we kind of roll around in like, if this happened, how are you going to cope? Because there are so many there are things about birth that we are out of our control. They truly just out of our control. And if we can prepare our mind and say, okay, I'm going to do everything I can to learn how to move my body, to learn how to position my body in ways to help the baby move down, to breathe, make sure my partner's on board, to make sure my team is on board. We're going to do everything we can to have this like holistic birth, but I'm also going to be really smart and know that birth is the unknown, and I have to prepare myself for the unexpected. I don't know what's going to happen, but when it does, I want to show up and I want to make decisions in that moment based on whatever's needed in that moment. And if I have a fear, let's say the fear is cesarean, right? Then that fear, if I'm really gripping, like I can't do this, I can't have that, is, then that's going to close us up and we're not going to be able to open. But instead, if we really work through what is this fear about and get to the root of it, and then go, okay, if this happens, what does it mean about me as a mother? Does it mean that I'm a failure? Like, no, it doesn't. It means that I'm doing what I need to do to like for my baby and my life. And then what are things I can do? Maybe what can my husband do to support me? How can I feel like I'm still connected to the experience, even though it's not what I wanted? So we start to kind of, strategize like, okay, if our greatest fear happens, how are we going to cope? And then when we do that, we're like, okay, I feel like I hope it doesn't happen. But if it does, I'm kind of ready. And that helps to take away the fear and allow us to be present.
Beautiful. And do you know anything about postpartum depression if you do a holistic birth, if there's a reduction in postpartum depression, if you choose a more holistic approach? Do you know anything about that?
That's a really good question. I have a lot of experience with postpartum care, and as a birth doula, almost 200 births I've been to, and all kinds of births, right? Cesarean births, epidurals, unmedicated births, home births. Like I've had all the births, and I have to say that question you're asking me is a really good one. It's I would say that ultimately, it's not necessarily about how you give birth that's going to impact whether or not you have postpartum depression. It's really not. It's It's more about how you were treated throughout the birthing experience. Because we're talking about, when you talk about postpartum depression, one of the greatest contributors, I believe, to postpartum depression is unresolved birth trauma. Okay, so if a woman wants a natural birth, a home birth, let's say, and then she ends up transferring to the hospital, and has her baby there, it doesn't necessarily mean that that was a traumatic birth. And so she may go home and be like, not have postpartum depression at all, because she was treated with respect and supported all the way through it, right? So I would say that that it's how you're treated, and also the ability to process your birth during that postpartum time, while those moments are fresh, is what is going to help minimize the chance of getting postpartum depression. It's not about epidural or a cesarean or a natural birth. It's more about how you were treated throughout the whole process.
And do you think there's a high percentage of women coming out with a trauma because of how they've been treated, or how is the care in general?
I do birth trauma work, right? And so I have women coming to me and telling me their stories, and we work through it. We shift the belief, because when you, so in the hospital, so here's the thing, is women are preparing for, maybe they want a holistic birth, they want to feel empowered, kind of like I shared with you my story, right? I kind of lucked out, but with my first baby anyway. But they realize, oh, birth is really beautiful. It is. But then, in order to surround yourself with people that also see birth as beautiful, it's hard. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's the most pain you're ever going to feel. And it's the most beautiful, powerful experience as well. So you have to surround yourself with people that also are in alignment with that. Because, and in our, at least, I'm not sure how it is where you are, but in American hospitals, it's very clinical, right? You're there, and their job is to make sure you and your baby don't die. You know what? They're not really, they don't, labor nurses do not have time to, really get into that birth energy with you and like really help you like be in that flow and like, oh, let's try this and let's try that. That's the job of a doula. That's the job of your partner, if your partner's been, trained in a class. So what happens is they go to give birth and they're like, whoa, like they're like, hey, let me know when you want the epidural. Where do you want the IV? Like, you're like, oh, I didn't think I needed an IV. I'm not dehydrated. Like, you just, they're not set up to help you have that beautiful, empowering birth. It's like they're there to just keep you alive. And so there's the disconnect with going through the system and then coming out and being like, geez, like, I didn't really feel like I had a say. I got ended up with a cesarean. I didn't really know what was going on. I couldn't really advocate for myself. And they it just kind of like, ah, it was too much. Like, what happened? I wanted a natural birth. They didn't listen to my birth plan. And now I feel like I failed. And so that's what happens. And so what it, then there's trauma, not necessarily because it was life-threatening so much. Maybe it wasn't really life-threatening. It was just the disconnect between the team that's very clinical, and then here you are wanting to have an emotional, spiritual, psychological journey as well, and that's not being nurtured by anybody. And so a doula is really helpful, because that's what I do, right? Like, I'm there to be that bridge between, no, this isn't just clinical. This is also a powerful rite of passage we're experiencing, and there's very simple things that make a huge difference. For example, like, if a maybe a labor nurse or an OBGYN is like, hey, you know what, your baby's heart rate is dropping, we're gonna have to start Pitocin now, we need to get this going. The way they say that could be slightly different. Now, if the OB said, hey, you know what, you're doing great, you are rocking this, and your baby's heart is dipping, we might want to suggest a little Pitocin, but I want to see how you feel about that. What do you think about Pitocin? Just that difference right there where the woman's like,
Wow.
oh, right? Just
Very
kind of the
much,
difference
yeah.
between empowered birth and traumatic birth, right? So, little things.
So it's almost like we should have like the vocab as a part of the educational, certification as well. How to speak to people so they feel calm and at ease, and makes all the difference.
Yeah, they don't learn that in medical school. And some, of course, some doctors and nurses are very natural at it and they're beautiful. And I witnessed the most amazing labor nurses that are like healers too. But that's where a doula comes in, or even the partner can do that. And then I can say, oh, whoa, hey, wait a second. If you don't mind, before we make the decision about Pitocin, I just want to check in with my client. Can you give us about 10 minutes so we can see how she feels about this decision? Right. So there's the mediator in the whole thing, right?
Where do you think we are heading in the future with the younger generations? Do you think they are going to choose a more holistic birth compared to a classic one?
I do see the trend is getting more mainstream to, I see a lot of like things, that are encouraging more holistic birth. And I think it is moving in that direction. And I do see a lot of positive change in the hospitals here where I work. A lot of the nurses are getting trainings that are much more holistic, so they can be almost more like a doula, instead of just clinical. They're also like, hey, instead of just getting the epidural, let's try doing some of these positions. They're getting a little bit more aware of the different, many different ways to birth, rather than just like come in, get the epidural, and be done. So I think it's happening. It's just a very slow change.
And how is the connection with the baby, obviously going through the holistic experience versus if you don't? What kind of difference have you experienced with the oneness?
I mean, it's interesting. It's really hard to track that kind of connection because every baby has sort of, they come into the world with their own different karmic, like codes to
Yes. Yeah.
fulfill, and it's whether it's related to how the mother gave birth or not, it's hard to tell because it's funny. Like sometimes I'll have a mom that has a just like smooth home birth in the water. But the baby's temperament is like, woo, that baby is a firecracker. And I'm there as a postpartum doula and I'm feeding the mother all the perfect foods for breastfeeding. But that baby has a temperament, right? And it's not from the birth because the birth was really smooth. And then you have, women whose babies are like they have a 36-hour layer late labor that had every intervention in the book and then ended in cesarean. And then their babies are just like really peaceful and calm. So it's, I think there's a, like, that's a really good question, but it's multifaceted how our babies, are, how the birth impacts them. It's really hard to really track that and make that connection.
Do you think the birth of the baby has what kind of experience they have has an impact on their personality and their continuous life?
I do. I really, and that's something again that's kind of just more intuitive, and especially with my own children, just seeing how, like, learning later on in life as I've always been examining my own birth, right? Like as I get older and I become more wise, I look back, oh, that's why that happened in my birth, and that I can see how, like, my child is this way, partly because of how I gave birth. Like my own reflection, I can kind of draw some parallels. But yeah, I do think that that, for example, okay, something interesting is, and I don't remember where I read this, but there is a lot of literature out there about how the birth, how babies are born is also part of who they are or who they become. And there was one story about this baby who just didn't want to come out. Like the mom was at 9 or 10 centimeters and pushed for, and then she pushed for a long time. This transition stage is supposed to be pretty short, but for her, it was like 10 or 12 hours and pushing for a long time. And just the baby just wouldn't come down, wouldn't come down, wouldn't come down. And then she had a cesarean. And then, like 10 years later, she just made this connection, like, because her baby has, or her child has autism and has a really hard time with transitions, right? Like transitions are the hardest thing. So she's like, oh, well, that's why he just didn't want to come out. It was a big, the greatest life transition, right? Coming from the womb to the world. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do this. We had to take him out. So if you just kind of are open-minded to like think about, reflect on your birth, write your birth story down, write what you thought, write how you felt, and then just kind of tuck that away and then let, and then pull it out every now and then and go, oh, I can see how like my birth is also sort of similar to my child. You know, it's interesting.
Well, now when you mention it, I'm actually thinking about my own three kids, and I can actually see the type of birth, the speed of it, or the steadiness of it has actually a very big correlation with their temperament.
Yeah.
Interesting. The penny just dropped.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very, very interesting.
And what is it? What does it help? How does it help you understand your children better?
Well, it's just that the fact that they were in the womb when they were before they were coming out, they already had the, you know, the temperament and the, and it's just about being more acceptant, you know, having more acceptance and being more understanding, I suppose.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? I'm getting teary-eyed. It's so true. And I do birth story healing with women who are, you know, their children are 30 years old, right? And they're like, you know, I was in labor for 5 days and a cesarean, and they've kind of they still feel that anger. And when they realize, like, oh, okay, the I was in labor for 5 days, and then they find a little more compassion for themselves, and even they tell their story differently now to their own child. Oh, I see. You know what? You just wanted to stay with me. I get it. I get it now. You know, there's a when we make this connection, like you said, there's an acceptance rather than maybe feeling victimized or.
Yeah, and being humble towards yourself as well, because I mean, you did your best, but you didn't take into consideration the temperament of your baby and your child. So obviously, now in hindsight, it makes such a big difference because that is the relationship you have. It was there from the get-go, you know, from the start.
And we can't intellectualize our way through this, right? This is much deeper. This is the mystery of birth. This is
Very
how
much.
life we have to, this is what I love, like with the midwives I work with, right? They understand there's mysterious stuff going on that you can't learn in a university. You can't learn in med school. You cannot intellectualize. It's a very deep, deep, mysterious connection between you and your baby that you might not understand for 30 years. There's a level of trust in that. So when there's something going on in a birth, and I'm in that birth energy with her as a doula, and I'm really like, we're in this energy together. And she's like making a decision that's against what everybody else says. Doesn't seem logical or rational at all. I'm like, I trust her. She knows something we don't know, you know? And just to have somebody even trust you is like, that's really powerful too.
Yeah, because we don't meet that many people today that trust us like that, you know?
Right?
Now, what has been the most profound experience throughout your years as a doula?
Ooh. Ooh. I'm not profound. I guess what's coming to me right now when you ask me is the loving care that I provide. You know, being a doula, you're like boots on the ground. You're just in it with them. And you just, it's a really, really hard job because you don't know how long you're going to be out of birth. Sometimes it's like 3 days I'm there until, you know, and the thing that's really beautiful is that when I'm in that energy with a mother and a woman, and I'm just like, there's a different dimension that we enter together. And it's, we're in a different world. And in that dimension, there's information. It's really hard to explain, but there's just beautiful feminine. It's almost like connecting with the ancestors, that it's like accessible when we're in that zone together. So no matter what happens, like it just came to me to tell you about this one birth that it was like 3 days, and it was supposed to be a home birth, but it was a transfer to the hospital, and then it was a cesarean. And the baby had to go to the NICU and then be transferred to children's. And it was a sequence of all these things, right? And at the end of it, like I was there with her, with the mother, right? All the way through. I was feeding her bone broth and massaging her achy body and validating her and holding her when her baby was gone, like, I'm here with you. You're so amazing. And what is beautiful is that afterwards, like she felt her birth was the most empowering birth. And this is kind of like I was saying, because she was treated with kindness and love and compassion and respect every step of the way, every unknown we were greeted with, okay, what do you feel is the right thing to do right now? You're the mother.
You gave her
And
unconditional love.
unconditional love through the entire experience. And so that's why I'm trying to say that it's not about medicated, unmedicated. It's just the most powerful thing to witness a woman give birth and to be in that energy with reverence and with love and compassion. It's healing for everybody.
Imagine that if they can take the unconditional love back home and just keep it there. Live in that unconditional love state for the rest of their lives.
Oh, the world would be peaceful.
Yeah, will be no wars.
No violence.
All right. So now, Shelley, what has been your biggest fear in your life so far?
Oh, wow. Thank you for asking. Oh, gosh, what fears do I have? My greatest fear. I feel like I've worked through like all of my stuff. I guess I do sometimes have to keep myself in check. I do sometimes fear that my career and my love and my passion for working with moms will overshadow like my family and my obligation and my love and my duty to my family. This really challenging balance of like work, my passion, and then my home life. And so when I am really in the thick of it with a mom as a doula, as a postpartum caregiver, it really throws off the balance at home because now I'm not cooking fresh meals at home anymore and things get really out of balance. So my fear is sometimes like I don't want my kids to grow up and feel like, hey, mom, like you really weren't there for us. You seem like you just cared about your work more than us. And so for me, it's important to go, all right, like we just ate takeout 4 nights in a row because I'm too exhausted from taking care of moms and I can't cook. Like this isn't okay with me. I need to figure out a better balance. I need to not take so many clients. I need to, So that's my fear is like losing like my family, not like me giving out so much unconditional love to all the mothers. My heart is so big, but wait, I need to keep that for my family first, So that's kind of something I'm always a little worried about.
Isn't that a classic for us moms that works? Isn't that the standard one, number one fear that you're just not enough?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally empathize with that, not being enough and having that guilt constantly.
Yes. Yeah,
Whatever
and
you
even
do,
my
you
kids.
feel guilty.
Yeah, and my kids are grown, right? And doesn't just go away when they're like adults. Am I still a, good enough mom for my adult children because it's a different type of parenting, but I'm still mother them. Yeah.
Do you think that has a lot to do with programming our society that we've been programmed?
The guilt. Oh, yeah, for sure. I do think so. I think that it's part of the being an individualistic society that we're in, that we can, individualism, and we can do everything, right? And when we don't, we can't do everything. Like, we just can't. It's just too much. As women, we can't just have a great career, cook all the meals, be a PTA president. Like, it's too, we can't do everything. Something has to give. We're doing the work of a village. It used to be all the maternal elders, would raise the kids together. Grandma would cook every day, and but now we're doing the job of the entire village, and but we feel like we should be able to, but it's not humanly possible, or it's not natural. It's not the way humans are designed since the beginning of humanity. These expectations have been put on us since the Industrial Revolution, when it was like, oh, every woman could be working now. What are you doing at home? Being at home is, that's not valuable. You're not making money for the capitalism. Like, it's, you know, it's, and so, but so we're kind of bought into that. Like, okay, we have to have a successful career. That's not an option to not have a successful career. But we also have to be a good mom, and we have to have a stable household for our kids, which is more than a full-time job already. But we're expected to do it all, and it's just too much.
Well, it's not workable anymore, because obviously if you are worked out, having a full-time job, coming home, and you just said it's more than a full-time job looking after your kids, how are you going to be present? How are you going to be there? I mean, you might be there physically, but you're not there as a human being because you're too exhausted.
Exactly.
And how will this impact our future generations?
Exactly. The model that we're living in now, it doesn't work for families. It works for capitalistic gain,
Big
industry,
corporations.
and corporations.
And with that, where do you hope we are in 10 years from now?
Well, the work that I'm doing now is really, really deep work online, in the online world, for postpartum care. So I have the background of, prenatal yoga, birth classes, birth trauma. I have all this experience as a birth doula, with birth, and then the postpartum time, which is very much neglected. And in Western society, mothers are kind of fending for themselves. So in 10 years from now, what I want to see is I want to see families actually showing up, and maybe even families being the doula, right? Not every family is going to be able to afford someone like me, a birth doula. But I feel like if we could have a vision of, there's got to be an aunt or a grandma or a cousin or somebody in everybody's family who does what I do, right? So my niece just gave birth, and she took my birth classes. I was her birth doula. I fed her, and I was her postpartum caregiver. Her mom and I were a team. There's somebody in our family who does what I do, who understands the feminine arts, who can be there through all of this. We have lost the feminine, we have lost the value of the feminine arts, because we've moved into this masculine, like, patriarchal, only thing that matters is career and, making money, right? We're all bought into this. So caregiving, this is the feminine, nurturing, all these
Feminine
things.
energy.
Feminine energy is not something that we feel is, like, important to really have, and it's so vital. So in 10 years from now, I want to be able to teach everybody, every family, who is it that kind of feels called to be the nurturer? Who is it that's like, you know what? I could go to your birth. I could do that. Okay, like, let's let you be that person to carry that torch of feminine wisdom throughout your entire family lineage, that you can pass that wisdom down in the female line, so we can take care of each other. Because nobody's, like, not everybody can afford a doula. I'm expensive. So the only way to have that kind of support is if every family has somebody in it who's got it.
And I think we're stepping into more female energy as well in the next decade. And that'll make huge changes, obviously, in the in many areas of our world.
Yeah, we're ready. We are ready for the feminine, aren't we?
We are so ready. And you're also a healer, right? So you do a lot of healing work.
Yeah, I think mostly, like even just the way I described to you how I am at a birth, like that's very much I'm calling on my healer. I kind of have like these different aspects of who I am. I do different hats I wear. So my healer hat is on when I'm at a birth, right? Just like the words I say, the way that I touch, the energy I bring. And then a lot of my healing also comes in the postpartum time. So I massage the moms and my touch is very healing. I wrap their bellies. I hold them during this time. I feed them. My food is medicine. I help them process their birth story. So that's kind of like the healer in me. It's really always, that hat is always on when I'm a postpartum doula. So I'm a healer for all the mamas.
Ah, oh, you're such a beautiful light worker, Shelley. I love it. You are such a ray of sunlight and doing such a massive healing work on this planet right now, which is so needed. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for saying that. It means a lot to me.
Hope you got some valuable information today. Wake up, wake up. And thanks for checking in and waking up. See you next time.